The Mahabharata, Chapter 88, Bhurishravasa's End. There comes the valorous Satyaki. Your disciple and friend is marching up triumphantly, breaking through enemy ranks, said Krishna, the charioteer, to Dhananjaya.
I do not like it, Madhava, replied Arjuna. It was not right for him to have left Dharmaputra and come here to join me. Drona is there, ever seeking an opportunity to seize Dharmaputra. Satyaki should have stuck to his post to guard Dharmaputra. Instead, he has come here. Old Bhurishravas has intercepted Satyaki. A great mistake for Yudhishthira to have sent Satyaki away here.
There was a family feud between Bhurishravas and Satyaki, which made them inveterate foes. It had come about this way. When Devaki, who was to be the blessed mother of Sri Krishna, was a maiden, many princes competed for her hand, and there was a great battle between Somadatta and Sini over it. Sini won, and on behalf of Vasudeva, he placed Devaki in his chariot and took her away. Since that incident, there was a feud between the two clans, the Sini family and that of Somadatta. Satyaki was Sini's grandson. Bhurishravas was Somadatta's son. When they found themselves on opposite sides in the Kurukshetra battle, it was natural that as soon as Bhurishravas saw Satyaki, the old warrior challenged Satyaki to battle.
Oh, Satyaki,
cried Bhurishravas,
I know you strut about thinking yourself a man of great prowess. Here, now I have you in my power and will presently finish you. Long have I sought for this meeting. Like Indrajit destroyed Dasharatha's son Lakshmana, you will die today and go to the abode of Yama, gladdening the hearts of many a bereaved widow.
Satyaki laughed. Have done with your vaunting, he interrupted. Words are not deeds and do not frighten fighting men. Demonstrate your valor in action and do not indulge in dry thunder like autumn clouds. After this exchange of words, the battle began, and the combat was as between two fierce lions. Their horses were killed, their bows were broken, both were rendered chariotless. They were now standing on the ground, fighting with swords and shields till their shields were hacked to bits and their swords broken. Then they were locked in a deadly embrace without weapons. They rolled together on the ground. They leaped up and they sprang on each other. They fell down again, and so the combat went on for a long while. Partha's mind was at the time concentrated on Jayadratha's movements, and he did not watch this combat between Satyaki and the son of Somadatta, but his charioteer, Krishna, was deeply concerned about Satyaki's fate, for he knew about the family feud. Dhananjaya, said Krishna, Satyaki is exhausted. Bhurishravas is going to kill him now. Still, Arjuna was following only Jayadratha's movement. Satyaki, who came after an exhausting battle with the Kaurava forces, has been forced to accept Bhurishravas's challenge. Said Krishna again, "It is a most unequal battle. Unless we help him, beloved Yuyudhana will be slain." Even as Krishna was saying this, Bhurishravas lifted Satyaki up and brought him crashing to the ground, and all the men around in the Kaurava army exclaimed, "Yuyudhana is dead." Again, Krishna importuned Satyaki is lying almost dead on the field, the best among the Vrishni clan. One who came to help you is being killed before your eyes. You are looking on, doing nothing. Bhurishravas caught hold of the prostrate Satyaki and dragged him on the ground as a lion drags its elephant prey. Arjuna was in a great conflict of mind. Bhurishravas has not been called to battle by me, nor has he challenged me to fight. How can I send my shaft at Bhurishravas when he is engaged with another? My mind recoils from such an act. Although it is true, a friend who came to help me is being slaughtered before my eyes. Just as Arjuna finished saying this to Krishna, the sky was darkened by a cloud of arrows sent by Jayadratha. Arjuna replied with a shower of arrows, but he constantly turned with pain to where Satyaki was in the mortal grip of Bhurishravas. Krishna again pressed Arjuna to consider Satyaki's condition. O Partha, Satyaki has lost all his weapons. He is now in Bhurishravas's power, helpless. When Arjuna turned, he saw Bhurishravas with his foot on the prostrate body of Satyaki and sword upraised to slay him. Before Bhurishravas could deliver the fatal thrust, Arjuna shot an arrow which went with the speed of lightning. And the next moment, the uplifted arm fell chopped off to the ground till holding the sword. Bhurishravas, all amazed, turned and saw who had done it.
"Son of Kunti," he exclaimed, I had not expected this of you. It befits not a warrior to shoot from behind in this manner. I was engaged in combat with someone else, and you have attacked me without notice. Indeed, then no man can resist the evil influence of the company he keeps, as your unchivalrous conduct proves. Dhananjaya, when you go back to your brother Dharmaputra, what account are you going to give him of this valorous deed? Ah, who taught you this low trick, Arjuna? Did you learn this from your father Indra, or from your teachers Drona and Kripa? What code of conduct was it that permitted you to shoot your arrow at a man who was engaged in combat with another and could not so much as turn his eyes on you? You have done the deed of a low-bred fellow and foully besmirched your honor. You must have been instigated into it by the son of Vasudeva. It was not in your own nature to do it. No one with princely blood in his veins would think of such a dastardly deed. I know you have been incited to it by that contemptible
Krishna. Thus did Bhurishravas, with his right arm cut off, bitterly denounce Krishna and Arjuna in the Kurukshetra field. Said Partha, Bhurishravas, you are old. Age seems to have affected your judgment. You accuse Hrishikesha and me without cause. How could I look on doing nothing when before my eyes you were in the act of killing my friend who came and risked his battle and life on my behalf? One who was like a right hand to me and whom you were going to stab when he was lying helpless on the ground. I would have deserted anyone, but I could not have deserted Satyaki. I would have deserved to go to hell if I had failed to intervene. You say, I have been ruined by keeping company with Madhava. Who in the wild world would not wish to be so ruined? You have spoken out of confused understanding. Satyaki, who was weary and exhausted when he came here, and who was inadequately armed, was challenged by you to give battle. You overcame him. Having been defeated, he lay on the ground powerless. What code of honor enabled you to raise your sword to thrust into the body of the fallen warrior and slay him? Do I not remember how you cheered the man who killed my boy Abhimanyu when he stood staggering, exhausted, weaponless, his coat of armor torn off? Bhurishravas, who heard this, did not answer, but spread his arrows on the ground with his left hand and made a seat for meditation. The old warrior sat in yoga, and the sight deeply moved all the soldiers. They cheered Bhurishravas and uttered reproaches against Krishna and Arjuna. Arjuna spoke, "Brave men, I am sworn to protect every friend within bow shot of me, and I cannot let an enemy kill him. It is my sacred pledge. Why do you blame me? It is not right to hurl reproaches without due thought." After saying this to the warriors in the field who reproached him, he turned to Bhurishravas and said, "O excellent among brave men, you have protected many who have gone to you for help. You know that what has happened is due to your own error. There is no justice in blaming me. If you like, let us all blame the violence which governs Kshatriya life." Bhurishravas, who heard this, lowered his head in salutation. Satyaki now recovered consciousness and arose. Carried away by the impetuosity of his passion, he picked up a sword and, advancing to Bhurishravas, sitting in yoga on his seat of arrows, even when all around were shouting in horror, and before Krishna and Arjuna, who rushed to the spot, could prevent him, with one swift and powerful cut, he struck off the old warrior's head, which rolled down while the body was still in the posture of meditation. The gods and the Siddhas, who looked on from above the battlefield, uttered blessings on Bhurishravas. Everyone in the field condemned Satyaki's act. Satyaki maintained he was right, saying, "After I fell down senseless, this enemy of my family placed his foot on my prostrate figure, attempted to kill me. I may slay him in whatever posture he might choose to be." But none approved of his conduct. The slaying of Bhurishravas is one of the many situations of moral conflict woven into the story of the Mahabharata to demonstrate that when hatred and anger have been aroused, codes of honor and dharma are powerless to control them.
Yatra Yogeshwara Krishno Yatra Partho Dhanurtarah Tatra Sri Vijayo Bhutir Dhruvani Tirmatir Mamam.
The Mahabharata, Chapter 89, Jayadratha Slain.
"The decisive hour has come, Karna," said Duryodhana. "If before nightfall this day Jayadratha is not slain, Arjuna will be disgraced and he will kill himself for not having redeemed his oath. With Arjuna's death, the destruction of the Pandavas is certain and this kingdom will be ours in unquestioned and absolute sovereignty." Dhananjaya swore this impossible oath in a moment of thoughtlessness because the gods had willed it that he should be thus destroyed by his own hand. "It seems my stars are now in the ascendant. We should not let this opportunity slip. We must see somehow that his challenge fails. The whole thing depends on you, Karna. Your great skill in battle is on trial today. Prove yourself this day. See, the sun has sloped down in the west. Within the little time left before nightfall, I do not think it possible for Partha to reach Jayadratha. You, Ashwatthama, Shalya, Kripa, and I must guard Jayadratha and do all we can to see that he does not fall into Arjuna's hands during the next few hours before sunset."
"My king,"
Karna replied,
"I have been wounded all over by Bhimasena. I am so weary that my limbs have no power in them. Still, I shall put forth all the strength that is in me. I only live to serve you."
When Karna and Duryodhana were thus planning, Arjuna was engaged in a great attack on the Kaurava army. And putting forth all his strength so that before sunset, he could break through to Jayadratha. Krishna put his panchajanya in his mouth and blew a loud note in the Rishabha Swara, which was the signal for his own charioteer, Daruka, to arrive at once with his chariot. When it came, Satyaki took his place in it and attacked Karna vigorously and skillfully, keeping him fully engaged. Daruka's mastery of driving and Satyaki's archery were such as brought down the gods to witness the combat. Karna's four chariot horses were disabled and the charioteer was unseated. Then the flagstaff was cut asunder and the chariot was smashed. The great Karna stood chariotless, and the event produced a great flutter in the Kaurava army. Karna had to run and climb up into Duryodhana's chariot. Sanjaya here tells Dhritarashtra, to whom he was relating the incident, "The greatest adepts in archery are Krishna, Partha, and Satyaki. There is not a fourth to match them." Arjuna broke through the Kaurava opposition and reached Jayadratha. Inflamed by the thought of the slaughter of Abhimanyu and all the great wrongs inflicted by the Kauravas, Arjuna fought with fury. Savyasachin as he was, he discharged shafts from the Gandiva, now using one hand and then the other, and struck terror and confusion among his enemies, who felt as if death had come to the battlefield with wide open jaws. It is only the poet of the Mahabharata that can describe the combat that raged between Arjuna and Ashwatthama and the other great warriors that protected the king of Sindhu. They fought fiercely, but they were all defeated and could not prevent Arjuna from reaching Jayadratha. The attack on Jayadratha began and the battle raged long. Both sides were constantly looking westwards, for the day was nearing its end. The Saindhava was no mean foe, and taxed to the full, Arjuna's strength and skill were hard put to it. The sun sank towards the horizon and reddened, but the battle did not cease. "There is but a very little time left. It seems Jayadratha has been saved, and Arjuna's challenge has failed. The vow is unfulfilled, and Arjuna is going to be disgraced," said Duryodhana to himself in great glee. Then there was darkness, and the cry went round in both armies, "It is sunset and Jayadratha has not been killed. Arjuna has lost." The Pandavas were depressed, and there were shouts of joy in the Kaurava army. Jayadratha turned to the western horizon and thought within himself, "I am saved." For he did not see the sun then, and thought the time limit of danger from Arjuna was over. At that moment, however, Krishna said to Arjuna, "Dhananjaya, the Sindhu Raja is looking at the horizon. I have caused this darkness. The sun is still up and has not set. Do your work. This is the moment for it, for Jayadratha is off his guard." A shaft blew from the Gandiva, and like a vulture swooping down on a chicken, it carried away Jayadratha's head. "Listen, Arjuna," cried Krishna, "send your shafts in swift relays so that the head may be supported from falling to the earth and borne into Vridhakshatra's lap." And Arjuna sent his wonderful arrows, which carried away the head in the air. It was a strange sight. Vridhakshatra was in his ashrama, sitting in the open, absorbed in his evening meditation, with eyes closed, when his son's head, with beautiful black hair and golden earrings, gently dropped into his lap. The old king finished his meditation and got up, when the head rolled down and fell on the ground. And as ordained, Vridakshatra's head burst into 100 fragments. Jayadratha and his father together reached the abode of the brave. Keshava, Dhananjaya, Bhima, Satyaki, Yuddhamanyu, and Uttam Aujas all blew their conches, and Dharmaraja, who heard the triumphant noise, knew that it meant that Arjuna had redeemed his oath and that the Saindhava king had been slain. Then Yudhishthira led his army fiercely against Drona. It was nightfall, but on the 14th day of the battle, the rules of ceasefire at sunset was not observed. As the passions rose from day to day, one by one, the rules and restraints broke down. Yatra Yogeshwara Krishno Yatra Partho Dhanurtarah Tatra Sri Vijayo Bhutir Dhruvani Tirma Tirmama. The Mahabharata, Chapter 90, Drona passes away. All those who've heard the story of the Mahabharata know about Ghatotkacha, Bhimasena's famous son, by his Asura wife. There are two young men among the Mahabharata figures who embody all the qualities of heroism, fortitude, strength, courage, and amiability. They are Arjuna's son Abhimanyu and Bhima's son Ghatotkacha. Both of them gave up their lives on the Kurukshetra battlefield. Towards the latter part of the Mahabharata fight, the hatred roused on both sides did not find satisfaction in battle conducted during the daytime and close at nightfall. On the 14th day, when the sun set, they did not cease fighting, but went on with it in torchlight. The Kurukshetra field presented a strange sight, the likes of which had not been before in Bharata Desha. The generals and soldiers on both sides were engaged in battle with thousands of torches burning and using signals specially devised for night time. Ghatotkacha and his troops of asuras, who are strongest at night, found darkness an additional advantage and violently attacked Duryodhana's army. Duryodhana's heart sank within him when he saw thousands of his men destroyed by Ghatotkacha and his demon army moving in the air and attacking in weird and unexpected ways. "Kill this fellow at once, Karna, for otherwise soon our whole army will cease to be. Finish him without further delay." Thus begged all the perplexed Kauravas of Karna. Karna was himself angry and bewildered, having just been wounded by one of the Asura's arrows. He had with him, no doubt, the spear of unerring effect which Indra had given to him. But it could be used only once, and he had carefully husbanded it for exclusive use on Arjuna, with whom a decisive encounter he knew was inevitable. But in the confusion and wrath of that eerie midnight melee, Karna impelled by a sudden urge, hurled the missile at the young giant. Thus was Arjuna saved, but at a great cost. Bhima's beloved son, Ghatotkacha, who from mid-air was showering his deadly arrows on the Kaurava army, dropped dead, plunging the Pandavas in grief. The battle did not stop. Drona spread fear and destruction in the Pandava army by his relentless attacks. O Arjuna, said Krishna, there is none that can defeat this Drona, fighting according to the strict rules of war. We cannot cope with him unless dharma is discarded. We have no other way open. There is but one thing that will make him desist from fighting. If he hears that Ashwatthama is dead, Drona will lose all interest in life and throw down his weapons. Someone must therefore tell Drona that Ashwatthama has been slain. Arjuna shrank in horror at the proposal, as he could not bring himself to tell a lie. Those who were nearby with him also rejected the idea, for no one was minded to be a party to deceit. Yudhishthira stood for a while reflecting deeply. I shall bear the burden of this sin, he said, and resolved the deadlock. It was strange, but when the ocean was churned at the beginning of the world and the dread poison rose, threatening to consume the gods, did not Rudra come forward to swallow it and save them? To save the friend who had wholly depended on him, Rama was driven to bear the sin of killing Vali in disregard of the rules of fair play. So also now did Yudhishthira decide to bear the shame of it, for there was no other way. Bhima lifted his iron mace, brought it down on the head of a huge elephant called Ashwatthama. It fell dead. After killing the elephant Ashwatthama, Bhimasena went near the division commanded by Drona and roared so that all might hear, I have killed Ashwatthama! Bhimasena, who until then had ever done or even contemplated an ignoble act, was, as he uttered these words, greatly ashamed. They knocked against his very heart. But could they be true? Drona heard these words as he was in the act of discharging the Brahma Astra. Yudhishthira, is it true my son has been slain? Dronacharya asked this of Dharmaputra. The Acharya thought that Yudhishthira would not utter an untruth even for the kingship of the three worlds. When Drona asked thus, Krishna was terribly perturbed. If Yudhishthira fails us now and shrinks from uttering an untruth, we are lost. Drona's Brahma Astra is of unquenchable potency, and the Pandavas will be destroyed, he said. And Yudhishthira himself stood trembling in horror of what he was about to do. But within him also was the desire to win. "Let it be my sin," he said to himself, hardened his heart, and said aloud, "Yes, it is true that Ashwatthama has been killed." But as he was saying it, he felt again the disgrace of it, and added in a low and tremulous voice, "Ashwatthama, the elephant." Words which were, however, drowned in the din and were not heard by Drona. "O king, thus was a great sin committed," said Sanjaya to the blind Dhritarashtra while relating the events of the battle. When the words of untruth came out of Yudhishthira's mouth, the wheels of his chariot, which until then always stood and moved 4 inches above the ground and never touched it, at once came down and touched the earth. Yudhishthira, who till then had stood apart from the world so full of untruth, suddenly became off the earth, earthy. He too desired victory and slipped into the way of untruth, and so his chariot came down to the common road of mankind. When Drona heard that his beloved son had been slain, all his attachment to life snapped. Desire vanished as if it had never been there. When the veteran was in that mood, Bhimasena loudly spoke, indicting him in harsh words, "You Brahmanas, abandoning the legitimate functions of your Varna and taking to the Kshatriya profession of arms, have brought ruin to princes. If you Brahmanas had not gone astray from the duties belonging to you by birth, the princes would not have been led to this destruction. You teach that non-killing is the highest dharma and that the Brahmana is the supporter and nourisher of that dharma. Yet you have rejected that wisdom which is yours by birth, shamelessly undertaken the profession of killing. It was our misfortune that you descended to this sinful life." These taunts of Bhimasena caused excruciating pain to Drona, who had already lost the will to live. He threw his weapons away, sat down in yoga on the floor of his chariot, and was soon in a trance. At this moment, Drishtadyumna, with drawn sword, came and climbed into the chariot, and heedless of cries of horror and deprecation from all around, he fulfilled his destiny as the slayer of Drona by sweeping off the old warrior's head. And the soul of the son of Bharadwaja issued out in a visible blaze of light and mounted heavenwards. The Mahabharata is a great and wonderful story. The sorrows of human life are painted with sublime beauty and rolled out in a great panorama. Behind the story of errors and sorrows, the poet enables us to have a vision of the transcendent reality. Thus it is that the Mahabharata, though a story, has come to be a book of Dharma. This book, in style and substance, is altogether different from tales and romances. In modern novels, dramas, and pictures, exciting scenes are enacted. The hero passes through dangers and difficulties, finally marries a woman whom he loves, or else everything seems to go on happily. But suddenly things go wrong and terrible misfortune happens, and the curtain drops. This is the art scheme of ordinary, sensational stories. The Ramayana and the Mahabharata are quite a different kind of artistic creation. When we read them, our inner being is seized and cleansed, so to say, by being passed alternately through joys and sorrows. And we are finally lifted above both and taken to the transcendent and the real.
Yatr Yogeshwara Krishno Yatr Partho Dhanurtara Tatra Sri Vijayo Bhutir Thruvani Tirmatir Mama.